26 in your pew Bibles if you want to follow along. I'm reading from Mark chapter 14, verses 12 to 31. On the first day of the festival of the unleavened bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house when he enters, the teacher asks, 'Where is my guest room? Where am I to eat Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." The disciples left and went into the city and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, "Truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, "Surely you don't mean me." It is one of the twelve, he replied, "one who dips his bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "Truly I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. "You will all fall away," Jesus told them, "for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I've risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter declared, "Even if all fall away, I will not." "Truly, I tell you," Jesus answered, "today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times." But Peter insisted emphatically, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the others said the same. This is the word of God.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. My name is Adam, or I guess as you say, Adam. I'm not the Adam from Genesis. I am just an ordinary Adam from Jerusalem. I'm sure you've never heard of me. Brother Mark didn't even write my name in his gospel. I was just the man carrying the jar of water. Just a footnote in the story. But there's more to it, I assure you. I see that you have a communion table set this morning with bread and wine, and I want to tell you, I was there at that first communion table with Jesus. This is the point in my story when I talk to people and they usually say, "Angels above, you actually ate with Jesus on that last night? What was it like? Was it special?" Well, I'll tell you, but I will also say this. Whoever drinks the wine and eats the bread in faith is closer to Jesus than I was on that night. So let me tell you my story, and hopefully you'll see what I mean. That spring day, Jerusalem was on edge. The city was shoulder to shoulder with pilgrims coming in for the feast. You could hear sheep bleating everywhere, with Roman soldiers on every corner, and with all the rumors flying around about Jesus of Nazareth, it seemed like a storm was pent up, about to burst. Under the circumstances, we didn't even know if the teacher and his disciples would want to set foot in Jerusalem that day. But my father had offered our room for them, knowing that the Passover can only be eaten inside the holy city. See, we aren't rich, but a few years before, we had added an extra room onto the roof of our house for family gatherings and with friends and such like that. My father sent word to Jesus through the grapevine that this room was his if he so desired it. And he arranged a secret sign to let us know. He said a man would be carrying a jar of water, that's me, his son, near the east gate of the city at noon on the day of the Passover. I felt like I was playing a game of cloak and dagger like I did as a kid, only this time it was real. I must admit, I was a bit self-conscious carrying that jar of water on my shoulder, doing what only women typically do. But the whole point was I had to stand out. And so, sure enough, around noon, two men come into the city and they see me and come over. And they say, the teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat my Passover? I said, follow me. They followed me through the crowd back to my father's house. I knocked on the door and introduced them. They introduced themselves as Peter and John. He led them up the stairs into the upstairs room, and they saw how it was all furnished with carpets and pillows and a table and lamps on the wall, and they looked so relieved. And then we got to work getting everything ready. My father took the lamb to the temple to get slaughtered so that as soon as the sun set, we could begin roasting it. Peter and John helped me carry jars of wine up from the storeroom and then helped me fill the lamps with oil. My mother started baking the unleavened bread. And then I took Peter and John to the market to buy olives and bitter herbs and hyssop. And we got everything laid out on the table as it should be for like for any Passover. Everything was ready. Finally, well after dark, there was a knock at the door. And I opened it to see Jesus himself. I had never seen him this close up before. And I stammered my greeting, made a fool of myself, but he just smiled and said, brother, may we come in? I opened the door wide and Jesus came in with the other 10 disciples into that upper room. A few of our neighbors and family friends arrived who had also been disciples of Jesus who had listened to him and wanted to follow him. We all took our places in the room with Jesus and his 12 forming an inner circle around the table and the rest of us beyond. Now, I know most people think it was only Jesus and his 12 there that night, but it wasn't like that. It wasn't like that. I kept looking at Jesus and thinking, could this really be true? Is Jesus himself eating under our roof at our table? What have we done to deserve this honor? So we began the Passover Seder. We told the familiar story of God rescuing our ancestors from Egypt, how they slaughtered the Passover lamb at twilight and spread its blood on the doorposts, so that the destroying angel would pass over their homes and spare their firstborn sons. How we had to eat unleavened bread because God was going to deliver us in a hurry, and we left in haste. We went through the whole story, but soon I realized this was not going to be an ordinary Passover. The way Jesus started talking and spinning the tale, it was as if he was now in the middle of it. And then he said something that sucked the air out of the room. He said in a clear voice, "One of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." There was a gasp. Everyone looked around as if to ask, who could it be? Each one of the inner circle said, "You don't mean me, do you?" Even Judas, the gall he had, said that. I looked at my father and mother and friends, thinking, could it be one of us? Were we destined to do such a horrible thing? Then Jesus said, it is one of the 12, one who dips his bread in the bowl with me. I didn't know whether to feel relieved that my family was safe or to be upset at the thought of one of Jesus' closest friends doing such a horrible thing. As we listened, Jesus went on and said, the Son of Man will go just as it has been written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born. A chill shot up my spine. The room was dead silent. This is the point where I was sure Jesus would get up and point an accusing finger at his betrayer or pronounce a curse upon him. But he did not. I looked at Jesus' face expecting to see rage or fear, but I did not. Instead, I saw only grief. He did not ask for pity or beg for protection. He simply continued on with the Passover as if this, more than anything, was what needed to be done. Well, friends, when it came time in the Seder to eat the bread, Jesus picked up a loaf and he gave thanks to it. He said, just as my father had on countless occasions, blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the world, who brings forth bread from the earth. And then he broke the bread into pieces, enough for everyone in the room, and put them in a basket and passed them around to us and said, take and eat. And then he said something that I will never forget. This is my body. I know, you've all grown accustomed to hearing those words, but let me tell you, on that first night, they were a riddle to me. Even the 12 looked confused. We proceeded with the rest of the food for the Passover, the meat, the bitter herbs, the stewed beans, but I was still trying to make sense of what Jesus had said. Then Jesus poured wine into a cup. He gave thanks to God for the fruit of the vine, and he passed the cup around for all to drink. His inner circle, then my father and mother, and then our friends, and then me. And while the tart, sweet flavor was still on my tongue, Jesus said something that was even more surprising. He said, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." This was truly shocking. As a Jew, I would never dream of drinking an animal's blood, much less a man's blood. What could it mean? And yet, here was Jesus calling the wine in our mouths his very blood. My father cleared his throat like he always does when he's embarrassed. I'm sure that you do understand what he meant. You've read what Brother Matthew and Luke and Paul and others have written about this. But that night, the meaning was hidden from me. After we drank the wine, Jesus made a vow. He said, "Truly, I tell you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine again until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." I looked at Peter and saw a furrowed brow. He didn't like his master speaking this way. But then it hit me like a ton of stone. Jesus was talking about his death. We're talking about his body being broken, his blood poured out, someone betraying him, and now making a vow that he would not drink again until the thing was finished. I know it's so obvious looking back, but at that time it was a startling revelation to me. Before I knew it, we were singing the final Hallel Psalms, and Jesus and his disciples left. And I suppose Judas had slipped out of the meal early to do what he was going to do. We've all heard the story of what happened next, how Jesus and his disciples crossed the Kidron Valley up to the Mount of Olives, How Jesus predicted that all of his disciples would fall away. How Peter swore up and down that he would die before denying Jesus. And all the others said the same. And they would live to eat those words for sure. But of course, I wasn't there. I was at home clearing the table, washing the dishes, sweeping the floor. I picked a scrap of bread up and held it in my hand, puzzled over what Jesus could mean by those strange words, "This is my body." I poured the extra wine back into the jars and replayed those words again and again, "This is my blood of the covenant poured out for many." I went to bed, but I didn't sleep. I just tossed and turned all night. Finally, after the neighbor's rooster crowed, I got up, I put on my sandals, I splashed water on my face, and headed out into the street. It was a cold morning. I could hear some commotion happening up the hill at the temple complex, so I started running that way. And as I got closer, I saw a large crowd gathered. I went up to a woman at the back of the crowd and said, "What's going on?" And she said, "Jesus of Nazareth is on trial for blasphemy." I climbed up onto the base of a column to get a better view and saw there on the stone steps was the man who had been in my house last night. He was bloody and naked. There was the Roman governor pointing at him and saying something to the crowd, and the crowd all started chanting something, which became louder and louder, and I realized they were saying, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." Even the woman next to me started saying it. I was appalled. I don't really want to talk about what happened next. I did see them lead Jesus away as a condemned man. I went to tell my parents what was happening. By the time we got back, I saw from a distance that they had done the evil thing. Jesus was up on a cross along with two poor souls. Tears filled my eyes. I hung my head, went away confused and sorrowful. At this point, friends, I need to spin my tail more quickly. I could tell 100 stories about what happened next. The mournful Sabbath day, and then the first day of the week when the women found the tomb empty, and so on and so on. But let me skip ahead. About a new moon later, I chanced to meet the disciple Peter one day coming out of the temple. He said with a wink, "Young man, where's your jar of water?" And then he embraced me and said, "Brother, have you eaten the afternoon meal yet?" I shook my head. So he said, "Follow me." I followed him down several narrow alleys to a small house where he knocked on the door. A young girl opened it, and I looked inside to see scores of men, women, and children gathered in this room. In the center was a table with some bread and some wine and some other food laid out. After introducing me to the group, Peter said, "Brothers and sisters, let us break bread together in remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ." Peter took his place at the table. He took a loaf, held it up, and broke it in half. "This is the body of Christ broken for us," he said. "Let us eat to remember his life given for ours." There were murmurings of amen and hallelujah. The loaf was passed around the room as each person took a piece and chewed it slowly. Some had tears in their eyes. Peter then lifted up a cup of wine, saying, "Let us drink wine to remember the blood of our worthy Lord poured out as a sacrifice for many unworthy ones, such as ourselves." It was then that a key turned in the lock of my mind. How could I have missed it? Jesus was the Passover lamb given for our salvation. His blood was the seal of the new covenant prophesied long ago. And as I looked around the room, seeing the cup passed from person to person, man to woman, I saw ordinary people like me. Not people who had kept the Torah perfectly. Not people with power and status. I thought back to that night in my own home where Jesus was surrounded by people who would betray him and forsake him in his hour of need. Even Peter, whose failure was infamous. Then I thought of my own failures and sins. But Jesus gave his life even for people like me. He died so I could live. As the cup was passed around, each person drank. And as we did so, my heart was strangely warmed. My spirit discerned Jesus there in our midst, giving himself to us. I felt closer to Jesus then than I had that night in my own home, at my own table. Just as Jesus had knocked and I opened the door that night, I saw him now at the doorway of my heart, smiling and asking to come in. I said yes. Amen.